Offside.
Manila na nogah. Medtem ko se slovenski odbojkarji v Manili borijo za četrtfinale svetovnega prvenstva, na 10 tisoče prebivalcev filipinske prestolnice protestira. Protestni val se je začel s študentskimi demonstracijami 12. septembra, ki izhajajo iz preiskav vladne korupcije v programih za nadzor poplav, v katere sta vpleteni tako izvršilna kot zakonodajna veja filipinske oblasti. Včeraj se je v Manili zbralo več kot 50 tisoč protestnikov. Letos so Filipine prizadele monsunske poplave, ki sta jih povzročila monsun Uifa in tajfun Ko Mei. Po uradnih podatkih je v poplavah umrlo 30 ljudi, 10 jih je pogrešanih, zaradi materialne škode pa sta več kot 2 milijona razseljena. Zaradi enormne škode poplav so se prebivalci Filipinov začeli spraševati o učinkovitosti protipoplavne infrastrukture, za katero vlada namenja milijarde proračunskega denarja. Povod za vznik protestov pojasni profesor politologije Danilo Reyes z Filipinske univerze Diliman.
Expose by Senator Panfilo Lacson was a follow-up to the expose by the current president, Bongbong Marcos. During his State of the Nation address in July, he had already disclosed that a number of politicians, those who are in the House of Representatives, were involved in corruption, especially the flood control. So what it means is that the issue arises after the series of flooding incidents in Metro Manila. And there were questions as to the efficiency of flood control project funded by trillions of pesos, because why is it that despite the funding, Manila is still flooded, right? So that's the question. And then there was an investigation that led to 15 contractors having been identified as the main recipients of government funding. Top 15 contractors in the Philippines, they have received about 20% of all the budget for flood control.
Senator Panfilo Lacson je julija v javni izjavi trdil, da je bila v zadnjih 15 letih zaradi korupcije izgubljena skoraj polovica od 40 milijard evrov, namenjenih za nadzor poplav. Le 40% projektnih sredstev je bilo namreč namenjenih za dejansko gradnjo. Lacson je zatrdil tudi, da obstajajo fantomski projekti za nadzor poplav. Predsednik Bongbong Marcos je ustanovil neodvisno komisijo za preiskavo korupcije v protipoplavni infrastrukturi. Ta je prepoznala anomalije v večini od skoraj 10 tisoč projektov za nadzor poplav, vrednih nekaj manj kot 10 milijard evrov.
So, as you may know, the Philippines is very similar to the US political system. We have Congress and we have Senate. So there has been an ongoing inquiry into these allegations of corruption, right? And one of those they have identified as a contractor, this couple named Discaya. So they are the ones who disclosed that some of the politicians, the lawmakers from both in Congress and Senate, have received kickbacks in exchange for approving flood control budgets. There were also allegations that during the budget deliberation, the leader of both the Congress and the Senate inserts billions of pesos into the annual budget, which was not deliberated or discussed. So there was a lack of transparency and there was a conflict of interest among the legislators that led to the corruption. And they have also disclosed that these congressmen and senators receives money in cash So there were no paper trails. And the result is that these flood control projects that is supposed to contain flooding and reduce flood across the country have not delivered what intended it to do, because many of these projects are either non-existent, they were defective, they were substandard, and then they failed to achieve what the project has intended to do.
V začetku septembra sta pred vladno protikorupcijsko komisijo pričala Sarah in Krule Diskaja, lastnika številnih infrastrukturnih podjetij. Par si lasti več kot 40 luksuznih vozil, katerih skupna vrednost je 6 milijonov evrov. Pred komisijo sta pričala, da sta dobila več pogodb za nadzor poplav. Sara in Krule Diskaja sta poslovna partnerja podjetja CLTG Builders, ki je v lasti očeta senatorja Bong Goja. Več o tem sogovornik.
The revelation by the couple, it was done during the Senate inquiry, the Senate investigation. So the couple, the wife is Sara Diskaya and her husband. So they made claims that they gave cash in exchange for once the project is approved. But the inquiry as to the direct connection between this couple as well as the congressman and the senators, many of them have denied any connection with the couple. So the link between the Diskaya, the wealthy contractors and the couple and the senators and the congressmen, that is still the subject of investigation in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. So there were 26 members of the House of Representatives. Based on the testimony of the Diskaya couple, these 26 congressmen have allegedly pocketed.
Korupcije je obtožena tudi podpredsednica Sara Duterte, ki je za druge namene porabljala proračunska sredstva, sicer namenjena za izobraževanje. Več o tem pove Reyes.
There had also been allegations of corruption in general, not only during the flood control, but also allegations of corruption involving the vice president, the current vice president, Sara Duterte, especially in terms of education, funding allocated for education had also been corrupted, and then the money did not go to education as it was supposed to be intended. And many of the funding went to intelligence fund that is not related to education. So that's also another grievance,
Kot povedano, se je v Manili včeraj zbralo več kot 50 tisoč protestnikov, kar je bila največja udeležba v septembrskih protestih doslej. To ni naključje. Včeraj je namreč minilo 53 let, odkar je nekdani filipinski predsednik Ferdinand Marcos razglasil vojno stanje zaradi komunistične grožnje, ki naj bi jo predstavljala novo ustanovljena komunistična partija Filipinov. Razglasitev vojnega stanja je predstavljala začetek 14-letne Marcosove diktature. Današnji predsednik je sicer njegov sin. Potek protestov predstavi Reyes.
The protests yesterday, they were organized by at least two political parties. In the Philippines, there are multiple political movements, and the key leaders or those involved in organizing protests were the academia. Those students, especially the youth, right? And from different schools, and there are also human rights groups, civil society organizations, and some of the members of the church. So there were two protest locations. First was in Luneta. That's in Rizal Park in Metro Manila. So according to the estimate, there were about 50,000 protesters who joined the protest in Luneta. And then in the afternoon, there was another protest that was called Trillion March, and it was held in EDSA Shrine. So that's also the in Metro Manila and Quezon City. That's the where the EDSA People Power Monument is located. You know, there was a People Power in 1986 in the Philippines that led to the ouster of President Marcos. So they held a protest symbolic protest to remember the 1986 EDSA revolution, but at the same time also to demand for accountability from the current political leader in the country.
Med nekaterimi protestniki in policijo so izbruhnili spopadi, pri čemer so policisti aretirali več kot 200 ljudi. Sogovorec predstavi del protesta, kjer se je začelo tudi nasilje.
Some of those who protested in a protest location in Luneta, they marched towards the Malacañang Palace. So the Malacañang Palace is the residence or the official residence of the President of the Republic of the Philippines. And there were two versions of the story. Like those, some of those who marched towards the official residence, some of the group did protest, but in peaceful manners. So they held a protest and then they dispersed peacefully. So there's another group. They are described as protesters who are wearing black shirts and they cover their masks. And the police claim that they do not belong to any of the legitimate peaceful protesters. So it means these are groups coming from unorganized communities. And they are, so according to reports, that there have been 200 plus protesters who were allegedly engaged in violence that were arrested by the police, and about 90-something of them are minors, and the rest were adult individuals. So these are individuals, according to police, who had been influenced by hip-hop gangs or those who had been influenced by the events in Indonesia, in Nepal. But at the same time, there's also a narrative in which these protesters who turned to violence, They were forced to do so because they had been neglected by the government for a very long time, and many are not affiliated to any organized political groups.
Nad protestnike je vladna garnitura poslala najmanj 4000 policistov. Vanje je več protestnikov metalo kamenje. Policija se je odzvala z uporabo vodnega topa, nekateri policisti pa tudi z metanjem kamenja nazaj v protestnike. Danes je med protesti umrl mlajši moški, eden pa je bil huje poškodovan. Med množico, ki jo je aretirala policija, sta tudi 12 in 13 letnik.
Across three protest sites, the police have claimed to have exercised maximum tolerance. So they were following the instructions from the president. But of course, it was very clear that when protesters turn violent, they have also become becoming heavy-handed with the protesters who turn violent. So, you know, the protesters were throwing rocks, they were throwing bottles, and they were just they throw firecrackers. And so in dispersing protests, it was also very clear that there was excessive force that was used, because based on televised live coverage, you can see protesters, like one of the incidents is that a man who was wearing white, and he was arrested by the policeman, at least two of them, and drag him to the corner, and then he was already immobilized, right? So he was already restrained, and yet you can see at least two or three police officers kicking and hitting him. In theory, once the arrestee is already restrained, then there's no need to use force, right? Because that's the idea. But it was very clear, at least in some of this live feed that we could see on TV and based on various accounts, that there were excessive force that were used.
Za konec Reyes predstavi še preostale razloge protestov v Manili.
So different sectors in the society have different grievances and disappointments and discontent, right? But many of those who joined the protest, they were people who are coming from community that were first directly impacted by flooding. So it means they were relatives of those who died during the flooding incident, or their properties were lost, or they were displaced from these urban poor communities because of flooding. So they think of it as a direct neglect as a result of selfish and corrupt practices by many of these congressmen. So many of them, especially those coming outside from Manila, so they came to join the protest. You know, the shameless display by many of the politicians, their relatives, especially the civil servants, like the district engineers who approved those projects and the contractors who won projects from the government, because there were shameless display of affluence, like they lose 9 million in peso in casino, or they were showing dozens of luxury cars, and they display this wealth amidst the, you know, high inflation and the increasing living costs, especially in Metro Manila. And, you know, many Filipinos, ordinary Filipinos, are struggling to get by. So that also resonates to many Filipinos who struggle, you know, on a daily basis to get by, right? And especially with living costs. So these are examples that those who joined the protest had expressed grievance on. So as you can see, many of the protesters, they have different demands written on their protest placards, depending on which community they belong to.
Offsite je pripravila Neva.